Accession number 28640, Reel 1.
Andy Dent, Reel 1. When and where were you born?
I was born in Exeter, at Dix's Field Nursing Home, on the 9th of July, 1921.
And where did you go to school?
I went to school initially Ladysmith. I had to be... My hands had to be disengaged from the railings because I didn't want to go to school. But another lady came along and helped my mother to get my fingers off the rails. And by lunchtime, I was jumping around, totally excited, loving school. So I started off there. The next school I went to is one that is no longer in existence. It's called St. John's Paul's, St. John's Hospital School, which is no longer in existence, in High Street in Exeter. We were split up when the classes were broken up with the closing down of the school. I went down to a little school called X Island, and from there I got a scholarship to Heal School, Exeter, and had a lovely time there. Plenty of sports.
Are you fond of sports?
Oh, crumbs, yes.
What did you
do? I'll show you some photographs in a minute. Cricket, football. We had tennis in the school grounds. We went swimming weekly. We had half a day's sports every week. And we also had a couple of gym periods during the week. So there was plenty of activity there.
What were the academic subjects that you liked?
Well, I've forgotten the name of what they give to it, but if you pass 5 subjects with a credit, that is in excess of 75% accuracy, you get a... I've forgotten the name of it, but I've got the form here. You could get access to university. So I cut out every subject except the 5 that would enable me to pass with credits. And that's what happened. I got credits in all 5, which gave me this certificate. But in actual fact, what I wanted to do was to join the Customs and Excise. Now, Customs and Excise in those days was purely maritime. I had a maritime background. My grandfather, my mother's father, was a pilot, one of the first pilots on the Suez Canal. So I'd always wanted to go to sea, and that was my initial thinking, was to join Customs and Excise. But I had to wait until I was 19, in which case I had to find a job. So my father had twin sisters and 2 uncles living in Totnes. And I don't know how it arose, but the Totnes Times... I think we were down there on holiday. Looking through the Totnes Times, there was a job advertised at a place which was called Dawes Creameries. It is now Cowangate. But I managed to get a job there as an analytical dairy chemist. And
so you decided not to go to university?
Yeah. Well, I had to wait. The reason for that was I had to wait until I was 19 before I could get into Customs and Excise. And before that happened, war broke out. Excuse me a minute.
Before we get on to war breaking out, did you have any brothers and sisters?
Yes, a sister.
What did your family do? What was your dad's occupation?
He was in the registration office at Exeter, registering cars. Exeter had its own registration number, letter FJ. And my mother was a pianist. She used to play for the English Folk Dancing Association. She used to play for Olga Cooper dancing classes. And she also used to play piano in silent cinema. So I was able to go up to the receptionist cashier and say, "I'm Mrs. Dent's little boy." And I would get ushered in by, because there would be, what's the word for an usher?
Usherette.
Usherette. And she would take me in. The back 12 rows were curtained off. This is where all the snoggers used to go.
I remember it well.
So I used to get pushed in there. But it didn't matter to me.
Quite an education.
It didn't need education, it was all over the screen.
So you had a happy childhood.
I had a marvellous boyhood.
Good.
Because my father's brothers and sisters used to welcome us every year on tertiary holidays at Totnes. My mother's sister farmed at a place halfway between Exeter and Sidmouth, near the Halfway House Hotel. And I used to get on a bus from Exeter every Saturday morning after school and bus out to the farm. I had two very lovely lady cousins there, and we used to have a tremendous time. I was particularly interested in the pond life that was there, but there was also excursions. If we wanted to go, for instance, we had an accumulator. There's a little acid battery for the wireless sets, because they had no electricity out there. We had to go 3.5-4 miles across the fields to Aylesbury to replace the wireless accumulator. So that was a once-a-week trip out there. And then, of course, we were not far from the river. The river Offa ran down at Newton Popford. So mm-hmm. We used to go down there swimming. Sidmouth wasn't all that far away, just a bus ride away.
So as you got older, did you hear much about what was happening, perhaps from the newsreels at the cinema in Germany? Or were you unaware of the situation developing?
No, as soon as the war broke out, I was...
But prior to that, had you realised that something was brewing? That
of course, yes. We had Chamberlain was huffing and puffing and whatnot. He came back from a talk with Hitler, saying that, waving his
peace
piece
in
of
our
paper.
Time.
And we were totally aware of what was going on, because... wherever I went, particularly at my father's relations, they were, all of them had been in World War One, so there was no, it was topic of conversation practically all the time.
And what was the feeling? Were they dreading it happening, or did they feel that it wouldn't happen?
The women folk had dread, my twin aunts. I never really discussed it with my mother and father, because it was while I was at Totnes in the creamery that I'd just come back from. I had to go down early in the morning to check clotted cream, and when I came back and was shaving after breakfast, we heard that war had been declared with Germany.
How did you feel?
Well, straight away I wanted to join up, but I was a coward. I wasn't going to go in the army. I wanted to go Fleet Air Arm. So,
what did your parents think of that? Or didn't you tell them?
I told them that I wanted to get in the Fleet Air Arm, and there was absolutely no restraint. That was the part of the boyhood that was I look back on now and see how much rein I was given to do the things that I wanted to do. Just going away to Totnes, for instance, from Exeter, working there, wanting to join up. I tried to get in the fleet there on, but Lords of the Admiralty didn't want to know. I went up to Fishponds in front of a couple of admirals, and I think because I was only a grammar school boy, I wasn't suitable as an officer for to take on an officer's job. So I tried the Air Force, and I had to join the RAFVR because I was in a reserved occupation. I couldn't join up, but if I joined the RAFVR, I could get called up. So that's what happened. I got called up, and
Did you join the local Home Guard or civil?
Oh yes, I joined the LDB. I was given a sniper's position overlooking Totnes Racecourse.
How many men if you were in that group?
Be about 20 to 30, somewhere of that number.
And who was your officer?
I've forgotten his name, but he had a very large garage and motor sales business right by the river bridge in Totnes.
And had he been in the First World War?
I've no idea.
What sort of training did you get?
Oh, we had broomsticks. There was no rifles. Well, there were two rifles. And they were dished out whenever myself and another chap who'd been selected as snipers, we were given a rifle then. But, as I say, we were in the LDV, and this was before the Home Guard was initiated.
So what sort of uniform did you have, or was it just an armband?
Oh, I had an armband, and also I think I may have a photograph I can show you with myself and my girlfriend at the time.
So how many times a week did you have to attend?
I can't really remember. It was at least twice a week initially, because if not more. Well, there's no problem. I mean, I can't even remember where we used to train. Oh, we went in the
Is it the ATC? I've got a territorial barracks there now.
This is a similar sort of thing to ATC. This was a building in that small road at the end of Station Road, which goes into the recreation park at Totnes. It was all over the country, these particular. Can't remember the name.
So did you go on exercises with the Real Army?
Oh, no.
Training?
No, I was I had great difficulty in getting away from my work at the creamery. I mean, I had no holidays, or I couldn't go on exercises outside of Ashburton. I didn't even have half a day apart from Saturday was supposed to be my half day, but I mean, during the summertime I was expected to go down the creamery at 6 o'clock in the morning and check out clotted cream, etc.
So how long were you in the Home Guard before you got called up?
Oh, well, I got called up in 1942. I was eventually called up in March 1941 and went for attestation to all the way up to Penarth. Extraordinary, really, when there was Exeter, Plymouth, but we had to go up to Penarth. And whilst I was up there, Cardiff was being bombed, and those of us who were up at Penarth on being attested, two of us were given a zinc bath and told to go out and pick up incendiaries that were in the streets. We came back with bottom quarter of the bath, I suppose, full of these small incendiaries. They weren't particularly large, but some of them were up to about a couple of feet long.
So what sort of reception did you have at the unit? How many people were there being assessed?
Oh, we were so busy, I suppose. There was no socialisation because we'd been given railway tickets, and there was no point in my staying at Penarth because there was no place for me to sleep. So as soon as they'd finished with us, we took the first train back home.
And then what happened then? Did you wait to be called to a unit?
I had to wait to be called up. I was called up in April 1941, and I went to Blackpool and did square bashing, as it was called in those days, on the streets of South Shore. Following that...
Did you stay in a barracks? Or?
No, we were billeted with civilians in civilian houses.
How did you find that?
Well, I had a particularly
You don't have to be polite.
She was an old bat. We had to be in at 9 o'clock at night, and she was very miserly with her breakfast. Fortunately, we could go into at one end of Blackpool. I've forgotten the name of that again. There was a camp where I went to study training for flight as a flight mechanic airframes.
Yes. So
is there a name given to it? I went there and trained. I went to, after square bashing, I went to the far end of Blackpool, Lytham St. Anne's, where there was an aircraft factory, and we went there and learnt the trade of flight mechanic airframes. And from there...
What did that entail?
Well, everything except engines. I went on and did an engines course later on.
So you had to help with the construction and know exactly how it was built?
There were several ways of constructing an aircraft, right from the old canvas and tubular bits, right through the... there was a special construction used in Wellington's, and then there was another form of stressed covering for later fighter aircraft, particularly. And I was, as soon as I finished the course, I don't know how long it took.
Where were you staying then? Still in lodgings?
Yes.
With the same lady or another lady?
Another lady, fortunately.
Were the conditions better?
Oh, much better. Yes, we were treated... generally, we were treated like ordinary human beings instead of somebody who's been foisted on...
So how many people were per house?
Oh, I was the only one in this, because it was a range of houses, a terrace, so they were quite small. There were just a couple of bedrooms, probably, in most of them, I should imagine. Not that I took any particular interest in the size, but I was on my own in both places.
Did you make any friends on the course?
Yes, I've got a photograph somewhere. There was a sort of a fair going on up towards North Shore, and I made two friends at this fair, you if you fired the rifle and hit the bull, it took a photograph of whoever was firing the rifle. And I've got a photograph of me firing the rifle and my two friends looking over my shoulder, and we got a cheap photograph of all three of us instead of having to pay.
You didn't tell them you were a sniper then, obviously.
No.
No. So you went on from that basic training there, and
yes.
What happened then?
I was sent to Tangier, I think.
Henlow?
Oh, Henlow, that's right. I went to Henlow. Yes, we were assembling Hurricanes, which had been partially put together in Canada and been sent across here, and we did the final assemblage because it was much easier to pack wings in a shorter, smaller space, and also the fuselage could just go into a smaller space, as well as sections of the tailplane. They could all go into crates, whereas if you had an assembled aircraft, it took up a tremendous amount of space.
So did you have to do guard duties as well? Or,
no.
No, you were strictly on a course.
That's right. Then I got sent to, I think it was Tangier.
Yes.
Tangier. And this is where we had these American planes, Bostons, and the nose was cut off and replaced with a searchlight. And these planes were supposed to go up at night, escorted by two Hurricanes, to illuminate incoming German aircraft, and the enemy aircraft which were being illuminated would then get shot up by the Hurricanes. But my belief was that the Bostons got shot up first, because all the enemy air gunner had to do was to fire straight up the beam. And so that didn't last very long. And then where did I go? Oh, I think I was...
Cardington?
Oh, yes. I wanted to get become a flight engineer, was they were asking for them. And we were sent to Cardington for interviewing for this particular job as a flight engineer. Medicals, mechanical skills, etc., etc. And I was accepted as a flight engineer. And then, I can't remember, did I get sent on to...
St. Athan?
St. Athan, yes. St. Athan was... the engines side of flight mech's training. There was a flight mech airframes, a flight mech engines. So in order to qualify as a flight engineer, I had to do this engines course. Now, St. Athan was a huge permanent station, and it had a theatre there which held somewhere about 2,000 people, and I chummed up again with a couple of Scotsmen there. And during a performance on stage, we used to get all these famous people used to come in and give a show for us squad entrance. And during a quiet interval, one of my Scots friends got up and shouted out, "Is there a doctor in the house? If not, an MO will do." The place erupted. Did you understand what I was saying?
I did, yes.
Oh dear. And
I don't suppose the people on stage were impressed.
Oh no, there's nobody on the stage.
Oh, I see.
It was an interval. But as I say, everybody got up in their seats, and those who were in the front all turned around and tried to find out who was shouting this.
Did you find discipline in the RAF fairly less formal than perhaps the other services might be?
I suppose most formality came during our initiation into square bashing. Otherwise, it was they say get fell in, and it was usually a sergeant, flight sergeant, or something like that.
But you felt comfortable and you were enjoying it.
Oh, crumbs, yes. I mean, there was great camaraderie in all the setup.
Did you have much opportunity to go out and socialise in the town?
At Blackpool, of course, there was the wonderful place, the Tower Ballroom. And we had Reg Dixon up there playing 24 hours a day, virtually, I didn't find myself or allow myself a permanent girlfriend up there because I'd already said to my girlfriend at Totnes, Alethea, I don't think I'm coming back. So you find yourself a nice husband. And that was the same sort of feeling I had kept with me for until I was shot down. Where did I go after that?
Stormy Down?
Oh, Stormy Down. Yes.
So this was August 1942, you were at Stormy Down.
Yes. This was after St. Athan?
Yes, St. Athan, yes, and then yeah. Stormy Down.
Stormy Down was air gunnery training place on the south coast of Wales. I did an air gunnery course there.
What did that entail?
Well, flying in really weird, out-of-date aircraft, flying at targets, shooting at targets which were towed by another plane, and learning all about the maintaining machine guns. I wasn't there very long.
Did you enjoy that?
Well, in a way, because it was all leading to what I wanted to do. That was to become a flight engineer on a active squadron.
So how close were you to getting that qualification then?
Can you tell me the next station?
Oh, it does say flight engineer badge passing out parade. That was at Stormy Down.
Yeah, I think I went back to St. Athan for that.
RAF Thamesford?
Oh, no, that's much later. So, somewhere between Stormy Down and being posted to the RAF station at Thamesford to 138 Squadron, I was given my flight engineer's badge and promoted sergeant.
So how much were you earning then?
It must have been a considerable jump because when I joined, I was getting 2 and 6 months a day. So that was less than £1 a week.
So did you get more as you did each course?
Yes, well, I did... Every rank from ACH GDUT, which was the lowest form of animal life.
Perks.
I was ACH, FM, ACH, Air, AF, AM. Then I was LA, second class, first class, LAC, I missed out corporal, jumped to sergeant, and subsequently became a flight sergeant and a warrant officer.